Chris Gibson, you know, you're retiring from the Congress. There's a lot of scuttlebutt about your running for governor of New York the next time out. Hey, do you think that Andrew Cuomo can be beaten?
I do. I say that because, you know, I mean, I'll have, Democrats actually come up to me and they'll say, you got to take that guy out. And of course, my response to that is, why don't you take him out? You know what? And, you know, it's interesting what I hear.
Take out has a connotation. It means run against them. Yeah,
run against them. But, you know, when I say to him, well, why don't you, defeat him? And what they say is they can't. And, you know, I don't think that you'll see a top tier Democrat take on Andrew Cuomo because of his approach, which is if you take him on, he's going to do scorched earth against you. So I don't think you'll see, the attorney general or the comptroller or even the mayor of New York City. I don't think you'll see any one of those individuals challenge Andrew Cuomo. I think he's going to have to be defeated by a Republican who can attract enough support to defeat him. And, you know, he has, in my estimation and after listening, he's really burned a lot of bridges. And he's really alienated folks in his core constituency. And, you know, for Republicans, many Republicans feel like he has stepped on, us in upstate New York. And so I think a campaign can be mounted. It is a very significant climb to reach the top of that mountain.
He's got an enormous amount of money.
Well, and I estimate he'll spend at least $50 million in this next campaign. And, you know, my analysis so far, and we're still in the throes of that, is that at a minimum, if we do this, we're going to have to raise $20 million.
Can that be done?
Yes. But, you know, the question I have now is how long will it take? You know, here's the thing. You know, we had a good candidate last time. You just can't announce in the year of the election and think that you can climb this mountain. I mean, look, you wouldn't show up. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. You don't show up at the, you know, at Mount Everest with a pair, you know, a change of socks and say, I'm going to climb the mountain. You have to have more respect for the challenge. And whoever our candidate is, I believe, is going to have to announce and spend a couple years running for governor, raising the money. And quite candidly, it may take longer than 2 years to raise the money. If my analysis leads to that, then what we would likely do is form some kind of exploratory committee, begin raising money with making that final decision, as I mentioned in an earlier session, shortly after I finish in the Congress.
So without prolonging this too much more, Andrew Cuomo has a reputation as a Democrat for being very close to those people who are at the top levers of power and money. Does that put a crimp in your plans?
Well, it can't be dismissed. But I think that the way a successful campaign ensues is it starts with a lot of grassroots support. There's got to be some core donors that are willing to, you know, get out on that limb and to get behind. And I think if you wait to the year of the election, it's way too late because astutely, you know, and you got to, whatever you think of the governor, you got to at least acknowledge he's quite a politician. He's very successful and he knows where to go to either intimidate to stay out or to get the money so that they actually have to take a side. So, and that's, I think, part of what happened to us last time. And look, again, you know, Rob Astorino, I stomped really hard for him. But, you know, just like in the military, anytime you do an after action review, you have to have a very candid look at the facts. And here are the facts. You know, our candidate got 11,000 fewer votes than our candidate got in 2010. There's a perception that you know, Republicans, we did better because we got 40% of the vote.
And because Cuomo did worse.
Well, he bled out over 900,000 votes. But, I mean, the reality is this, that Carl Paladino got over 11,000 more votes than Rob Astorino. So, you know, we have to move in the right direction. We've got to be able to get more votes. And that means we have to recognize all the challenges and money is part of it. But really, you just can't crest, you can't crest Labor Day at 50% or less name recognition. It's got to start earlier and it has to be very strong in its approach across all 62 counties. So, you know, I've got a political team now that's looking at this in great detail and I have a lot of faith in that team. They've really got me through some hard stuff, you know, against being outspent and things like that. So, you know, you stay tuned. And I think you'll hear more.
Okay, that's good. So we have 4 minutes left, and I want to talk to you about something which I suspect you won't want to talk to me about. We have all of these candidates, Donald Trump is wowing them. He's ahead in many of the polls. He says today, as we speak, that he's not going to run as a third-party candidate, meaning I think he thinks he's going to win the nomination for president. Where are you?
I don't think he'll win. Look, I think he's talking to issues that a lot of Americans want addressed. And, you know, this idea that, which, by the way, part of what he's saying, I've been saying since the time I left the Army. People want real authenticity and sincerity. They're very sick and tired of the establishment. And, you know, there are times in Washington I feel in a pretty lonely place, but I still do what's right. I mean, my party, you know, really behind this Trans-Pacific Partnership and the fast track to get us there. And if I thought that was a good idea, I would support it. I don't. And so I was one of the few Republicans that stood up against that. So, you know, this is part of what I think Trump is addressing. But look, I do not agree at all with that style. I mean, my parents brought me up differently. You treat everyone with dignity and respect. You know, I have the privilege of serving 750,000 people now in the U.S. Congress, the 19th Congressional District, and a fair amount of folks that I serve don't agree with my views. I need to listen and to treat them with dignity and respect. You know, you don't call them names. And so, you know, I don't endorse his approach and the way he, you know, treats other people. And look, I've already acknowledged that some of the things, the issues he's raising, the people want addressed. But I think at the end of the day, you're going to see there are other candidates in this race that we talked about a few months ago that I'm glad are in the race. Dr. Carson, even as much as there are some things, platform issues he's taken, I don't agree with, but I'm glad he's in the race. He speaks to the issue of poverty and how to, you know, help people, empower people. He knows what he's talking about. He came from abject poverty, you know, and a very tough circumstance. Carly Fiorina, and certainly she's going to have to answer some hard questions of her tenure as a chief executive officer. But, you know, having a woman that has really, she started 18 years old. I don't even think she went to college right away. She became a secretary. And then I think she went to college after that, and she rose through the ranks. Having her in this race, I think, is very productive and helpful for the American people.
Well, yes, yes, Chris. But who's your favorite?
Well, I have several right now. I don't have one, and I'm not endorsing one. As I said, Dr. Carson, I'm glad he's in the race. Carly Fiorina, I think Marco Rubio, all three of them. Marco Rubio is addressing millennial issues. This is really the big contestation is, you know, this young generation born circa 1982 to 1999, they are up for grabs. They did vote for President Obama twice, but they feel in the main, they feel disaffected by the 8 years under the Obama administration, and they're up for grabs. That doesn't mean we're going to win their vote. We have to go out and we have to really make our case and attract them. So, you know, Marco Rubio, I think, is talking to that, too. So I think, you know, between Carson, Fiorina, and Rubio, I look forward to the balance of this primary process and, you know, to where we end up.
We got a minute, but I haven't heard the name Bush come up in your narrative.
Well, he's not on the top of my list.
Because?
Well, I mean, a couple things. First of all, again, you know, we went through this at pretty good length the last couple sessions about how I believe that we're a self-governing people, that, you know, we really don't need a permanent political class. And so I'd like to see some new blood, you know, come forward as far as leadership. And then, you know, in terms of issues, I just fundamentally disagree to his approach in education. You know, I'm for empowerment. You know, I want to empower students, teachers, parents, and administrators. I don't think the Common Core, particularly the way it was implemented, is the answer. And so we just have a fundamental disagreement on that. I think we've ended up with an onerous high-stakes testing regime that has not led to more excellence in education. I've never seen teacher morale more challenged. And I want to see us stop digging. I mean, drop the shovel and really go back to the drawing board and work on professional development as a means to get towards excellence, not threats and intimidation and onerous high-stakes testing. So we just have a fundamental disagreement on that score.
Sounds like you also have that disagreement with the present governor.
Absolutely.
Chris Gibson, love to have you with us. It's always so generous of you to share your time and be with us. And good luck on everything you're doing.
Thanks, Doc. And best wishes to all the listeners out there.